Well, good morning, everyone. And this month, there's a couple of Sundays when I'm here at the church and a couple of Sundays when I'm going to be away. So while I'm here, I'm going to be looking at two popular psalms. Today, we're going to be looking at Psalm 100. And then on the 23rd of January, we'll look at Psalm 46. And I have used Psalm 100 many times as a call to worship before a service, and it really does give us that call to praise the Lord with all of our hearts. But I've rarely written a sermon on Psalm 100, and the amazing thing about this psalm, however, is that it has a lot to say, even though it's only 5 verses long and 73 words in the Authorised Version, which makes Psalm 100 the 4th shortest psalm in the Bible. And yet it is incredibly helpful for our spiritual life. Because what Psalm 100 does is it opens up the relationship that we have with God. It's not only a call to worship that we find in this psalm, but it's filled with many of the reasons why we should worship God in the first place. And so it gives this insight into the dynamics between God and the worshipper. And therefore it does serve very well as an introduction to a worship service. So there are 3 points for this morning, and unlike my usual practice, I do have 3 points, but they don't all have the same letter. But in Psalm 100, we find out, firstly, point one, what God has done for us. Then secondly, how we respond. And thirdly, how long we respond for. So we find out what God has done for us, then how we respond, and how long we do that for. So let's go to point one then. This psalm is full of what God has done for us. And it's also full of points about who he is to us. So one of the first things that we find out from this psalm is that God is the one who created us. And we know from Genesis chapter 1 that he has created us in his own image. And we also know from Genesis chapter 1 that on day 6, when human beings were created, God proclaimed the creation not only as good as he's done in the previous days, but as very good. He'd made us in his image. He'd made us to walk with him, to be in his presence, and to have a relationship with him. And this psalm talks about the relationship that we have with God. And one thing it tells us is this: we are his. So as individuals, we belong to God because God has created us each in an individual way. So there's no other Ben, there's no other Tim, there's no other Gene. He's created us to be unique. We're also part of his people. So not only are we individuals and not only do we belong to him, but we are his, but we're also part of his people that he's building to glorify his name. So this psalm tells us that we are the sheep of his pasture. And if we are the sheep of his pasture, then God is our shepherd. God is our protector. As Jesus Christ says in John chapter 10, he proclaims himself as the good shepherd. And he gives us a parable in Luke chapter 15 about the shepherd who leaves his 99 sheep to go in search for the one that has been lost. Jesus tells us in the Bible that he came to seek and to save the lost. King David, as we thought about in recent weeks, was a king after God's own heart, and he was also a shepherd. Ezekiel 34:15 is where God proclaims himself to be the shepherd of his people. It says, "I myself will be their shepherd," in the American Standard Version, or in the New International Version, he says, "I myself will tend my sheep." So he is the shepherd of his people. God does the job of a shepherd. When it comes to us, he protects us, he leads us, he provides for us. We are his and we're part of his people. He's the shepherd and we're the flock. But what we find in Psalm 100 is that God, despite the sin that has entered the world, still desires to return to the relationship that he had with human beings at the very beginning, which was for us to be in his presence and to walk with him. It says this in the psalm, that we're to enter his gates and to enter his courts. And of course, those are allusions to the temple in Jerusalem, where in the Old Testament, God dwelt with his people through the temple. And he, in this psalm, is flinging wide the gates of the temple. He's opening up the courts of the temple so that he can welcome us in and invite us into his presence. There's a song by Matt Redman called Face Down, when it says, "Welcomed into the courts of the King, I've been ushered into your presence." God has welcomed us into his presence, and his presence is the source of our joy. To be with God is a joyous thing. So we're to enter into his presence, and as we do that, we come with thanksgiving, we come with praise, we come with gladness, and we come with joyful songs. So as we move on to point two then, we consider how we respond. This psalm says in verse 3, "Know that the Lord is God." And what this is saying in the psalm is that Jehovah, the God of Israel, is God. He is, in the New Testament, also proclaimed as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the ultimate authority, the ultimate reality, the ultimate existence. As God said to Moses, "I am who I am." This proclaims that the Lord, our Lord, is God. So in sight of the fact that he is God, we are therefore to worship him. We are to come into his presence. Having been welcomed into his presence, we come with glad hearts as we come before him. It's an invitation to come before him with gladness and with joyful songs. That is what we do on a Sunday morning. You may do it at other times in the week as well. We've been singing in this service today, "Be still for the presence of the Lord. The Holy One is here." And as we come to the end of this service today, we're going to be singing "Shout for Joy and Sing Your Praises to the King." As we come before the Lord, we come to give him thanks. We remember that he is the one who made us, that he made us in his image, that he made us to be in his presence, that he made us to be his and to be part of his people, that the Lord made us to be the sheep of his flock, he the shepherd who rescues us, as he rescued us in the person of Jesus Christ, who, as the good shepherd, laid his life down for the sheep when he went to the cross and gave us our freedom from sin. So our response is to praise him with thankful hearts. And how long do we praise God in this way? Well, the basic answer to that is that we'll praise him in this way forever. But what other things in this psalm suggests that this is the case, that we'll go on praising the Lord forever? We see in this psalm, in the final verse, verse 5, the character of God spoken about, and also the attributes that flow from that character. There's a simple statement of fact in verse 5, "The Lord is good." So we've heard in this psalm already, "The Lord is God." Now we hear, "The Lord is good." The Lord is good is a simple statement of fact. It's the way things are. That's the reality about who God is. That goodness is part of God's fundamental nature. And from that goodness flows faithfulness, as this psalm tells us, that continues, and love that endures forever. Faithfulness and love eternally flowing from the goodness of God. And it's for all generations to come. The generations now, so at the time the psalm was written, and the generations to come, which of course is us now. God goes on forever. And so our worship, our proclamation that he is worthy, will also go on forever. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, when he talks about the final coming of Christ, "And so we will always be with the Lord." Our future is to be with the Lord forever. And therefore the worship of God's eternal being, the knowledge of his eternal love, his eternal faithfulness, will go on forever, and we will proclaim his praise forever because we will be truly and finally welcomed into his holy presence. So how might we apply these things to our lives? What are we to do? The psalm tells us what we're to do. We're to have a glad and joyful heart. We're to praise the Lord with joyful songs. But how do we do that when life is hard? I think what we have to remember is that this psalm not only talks about praising God, but it gives us the reasons of why we praise God. And the chief reason in the psalm for praising God is that we're welcomed into his presence. That God's presence with us is the source of our joy. When bad things happen, it doesn't mean that God is gone. And when bad things happen, it doesn't mean that God is bad. This psalm proclaims that God is good. We've been welcomed through the gates into the courts of the king. So imagine if you were invited to the Queen's garden party, and I've known a few people that have been invited to it before, and they're so excited because they've received this letter. Her Majesty the Queen requests your presence at her royal garden party at Buckingham Palace. Wow, what an honour. Put on your best clothes, put on your best behaviour, go and enjoy yourself and feel very special because the Queen has noticed you. But this is what God is constantly doing for us. He constantly notices us. He knows each one of us. He knows every hair on our head, and he welcomes us into the courts of the King. But you see, God hasn't only done that. God has come into our very lives day by day because the New Testament tells us that our bodies are a temple for the Holy Spirit. Not only has he welcomed us into his presence, but he's made his presence always available to us within our very hearts by the power of his Spirit, so that when things are bad, we don't rejoice in bad things that are happening to us. That's not what we rejoice in. What we rejoice in is the fact that even though those bad things are happening, God is with us and God is still good. We have to remember what he's done for us, that he made us, that he made us to be his people, that we are his, that we're sheep of his pasture. And finally, in those difficult times when it's hard to praise, we have to hold on to the fact that this psalm does proclaim that God is good, and that from that goodness flows eternal faithfulness and eternal love, which ensures forever God's character is always the same. So even though life may change, we rejoice in the fact that God never changes. And so as we come to sing our final song today, we'll be singing, "Shout for joy and sing your praises to the King," because he never changes. He's always with us. He's always the same. In the good and the bad, for the better, for the worse, let's praise the Lord our King today for his faithfulness, for his love, for his goodness, and that he's welcomed us into the presence which generates all of those things. Let's pray. Father God, whether we'll be in the service this morning, whether we're listening to this sermon at home, we thank you, Lord, that you're the same in both places. We thank you, Lord, that you are present with us because our bodies have become a temple for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you want to dwell with us, that you desire for your presence to be with us and therefore for us to be in your presence. We thank you for the welcome that we received. We thank you for the forgiveness that you've given us in Jesus. Help us, Lord, in the difficult times to hold on to the truth of this psalm, that the Lord is God and the Lord is good, and that your love and faithfulness do endure forever. So Lord, we praise you today. We give you thanks, for you are holy and you are good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.